at the minute. It's also the first time I got invited to hear myself. I got two invites to come here today. I was standing at the show ready to come out last night when somebody came along and reached me one of the invites. So, not because I would want to hear myself, but I'd be much happier taking the second invite rather than the first, because I'd be much more content sitting down there in the pews. But however, it's always good to come and be able to have something to talk about. There's a wee verse in the Bible, and sometimes I wish verses like this wasn't in the Bible. It's in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. And it says, always, the second part of it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. You know, it's very hard to refuse whenever somebody gives you an invite to come and share a bit about your faith when there's verses like that in God's Word. So, the title of my address tonight was put up, Faith in Farming. And I suppose you'll never have heard a sermon on the F words before, but you're going to hear one tonight, because I'm just going to take some words beginning with the letter F and talk about. This won't be your normal sermon. I'm a Presbyterian and they're well known for having 3 points, but I think there's about 10 or a dozen of these, so okay. Milking time doesn't start at 6 in the morning, so you'll be home for that anyway. So there you are. So. Northern Ireland and our farm family structure. I think we have a great system in Northern Ireland where a lot of our farms are run by families. You know, the variety in a farmer's work is wonderful. I love my job as a farmer. You know, you're the farm manager, you're the machine operator, you're the stockman. You have a bit of veterinary to do, you're a mechanic. You're a bit of a builder, a bit of a plumber, a bit of an electrician, and that's maybe all before dinner time. And the list goes on then in the afternoon. You know, it's wonderful, the variety in work. But you know, the most important thing about family is that we're part of God's family. And that's what we're here to talk about tonight. You know, what are farmers? Farmers really are food producers, when you boil it all down. And you know, we have a challenge ahead of us. We have the same food to produce in the next 50 years as we had in the last 500. That's how the population of the world is exploding. When you let that sink in, that's quite a challenge. Since we were at the show yesterday, there's 230,000 more mouths to feed in the world. That puts a bit of a perspective of what our job is as farmers. We tend to be having to maybe work harder as farmers, get bigger as farmers. I would suggest that the reason for that is the amount of money that's spent on food today. In 1955, 55% of the average household income was spent on food. In 1973, when we joined the common market, it dropped to 27%. And today it's a figure of 8 or 9%. You know, we have to produce that food sustainably. We could import it from the other ends of the world. But you know, our local beef has a carbon footprint of 18 on a certain scale compared to 80 for imported stuff. The passage we read in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 12 and 13 is what I want to build some things about. I know that there is nothing better for men than to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift from God. And I think that my job as a farmer, and those farmers that are in the audience, our job is a gift from God. We're so blessed to work close to nature. So that's family and food. The next one I have is fortune. And plenty of farmers out there would like to make their fortune, wouldn't they? But you know, we are fortunate where we live. We don't appreciate it, the scenery we have. I've said before and I'll say again, I think farming's the greatest job on earth. We work close to nature. We get up in the morning, we hear the birds sing, the cuckoo at the minute singing. We see God's handiwork. You know, and I want to just expound that verse in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 12. To be happy and do good while we live are worthy goals for life, but we can pursue them the wrong way. God wants us to enjoy life. When we have the proper view of God, we discover that real pleasure is found in enjoying whatever we have as gifts from God and not in what we accumulate. You know, Mark 8 and verse 36 says, what shall it profit a man if he were to gain the whole world yet lose his own soul? Some of us as farmers need to get a bit more perspective into the job we have. Our next F is failure. And you know, that's one thing when I took on the role of the Deputy President of the Farmers Union that I didn't really reckon on, was meeting farmers at the end of their tether. 2 or 3 years ago, Milk wasn't a very good place. And I remember within a fortnight of having 2 farmers in tears to me. And it sets you back a wee bit. I was out at a visit with a group of farmers, and there was one farmer that I sort of knew. I hadn't his number and my phone ran, but I sort of knew him. And I thought he was down on it a bit, and I lifted the phone, rang somebody that got his number, and never said what I was looking for, and I rang him. And I named him, and I said, look, I'm just a wee bit concerned that you weren't your usual self. And all I got was floods of tears. That did set me back a bit. In the Farmers Union, we work closely with Rural Support, a good organisation. You know, plenty of farmers out there feel a lot of pressure. As I've said, they maybe feel that this farmer's been in the generation for 4 or 5 generations and now it's up to me, so they feel that weight of responsibility. Remember talking to a lady who works for Rural Support, and she told the story, and it's not a story, it's the reality. We've gone up a farm lane just before Christmas, and she said that she used to work in the banking industry, and she knew without checking out the acres of the bank that the farm would be worth somewhere between 1 and 2 million. She was going up with cocktail sausages, vegetables and a chicken. And she said the lady of the house stood and hugged her and cried on the steps, thanked her so much for coming. She had nothing for the dinner that day, and that was so good. So it just shows the pressure farmers are on. What does God say about that? Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. We have a God who is able. The next F I come to is fatalities. Unfortunately, we still have 7 fatalities we're running at in the year. It has come down. We were running at 12 a few years ago. One of my roles is to work in the Farm Safety Partnership, sometimes trying to keep some of these people that come in from outside the industry back from wanting to regulate on everything and encourage us. But we need to cut, as farmers, we need to cut down on our near misses. If we don't cut down on our near misses, we'll never cut down on our fatalities. I was at the show yesterday. I heard of 3 cases in the last 2 or 3 weeks of farmers been overcome with slurry fumes. We need to watch. The Farm Safety Partnership has the 4 things: safe, slurry, animals, foals, and equipment. We need to take that extra minute when we're doing our work. But you know, the biggest fatality of all was if we were to neglect our souls. You know, our minds can't even contemplate eternity. Our small minds only think of, if you think of your worst nightmare in a farm, multiply it by 1,000 and that never ending. And I would suggest it's something like that. Hebrews 2 verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? You know, we need to come and put our trust in the Lord. I know I've met Tommy Brewster here. I know he's a member here. I know Tommy works in the Giddens, and I'm privileged to be in that Korean branch too. Twice a year we go into McGilligan Prison. Just the autumn, we were in this spring, but the autumn last year, we went down one night, we went into the prison. We get the freedom of the wings. But it was one of those nights when nothing went right. They were short-staffed, the prison was locked down. There was only one place open for us to go, and there were five of us get-ins in that night, and it was only a wee small wing. We got held back, and it was the only place that was available to take place for us to go. But you know, God is always in control, and he had a reason for us going there that night. The first door I knocked, myself and Alan Hall took one corridor, and whoever the other get-ins were took the other corridor, and there was only maybe a dozen or 15 men in that wing. The first door I knocked, the man had come from McGabry and he'd lost his Bible. He was delighted to receive a copy of God's Word. The second door I knocked, quite a big character came to the door. His name's Billy, I got and found out. And I said, I'm here to offer you a copy of God's Word. I said, that's fake, that stuff. And that's another F we've got, that's fake. He said, that's a load of old toys. So I didn't really know just what way to respond, but I just looked into the cell and I saw a picture on the wall with a couple of Clydesdale horses ploughing. So I thought we'd change the subject. So I said, oh, you like your horses? Oh, aye, come on in, he says. So in we went to the cell, he says, take a seat. Oh, he says, I love my share horses. Well, I think they were Clydesdale horses, but that's beside the point. But anyhow, he went on again about this Bible being a load of old toys. And I was sending the wee SOSs up when you were there. God gave me the words. You know, it's really humbling when you open your mouth and you don't know what you're going to say and God puts the words in it. And words come out of my mouth that I never even had thought on. I just said, when he finished, I said, you know, I don't think you believe a word of what you told me. And he sat down and he says, why did you say that? I said, I don't know why I said it, but I said it. We talked on, and he said, you know, he says, you're right. He says, I didn't believe that. He said, that was just because I didn't want to talk about it. The conversation went on, and Billy came under the conviction of sin. Billy was a multiple murderer. He was in for one murder. He hadn't confessed for the other two. But God's Spirit came into that cell, and I don't say that lightly. But if you're ever in that situation, you'll know. The hairs were standing on the back of my neck. We talked on for a good while. And Billy kept saying, there's a burden on me, I have to do something about this tonight. I didn't push him, I didn't force him. I said, you know, God's there to give you repentance. Everything we seemed to talk about, he said, that's the very thing that's niggling me. It just seemed as if the conversation was God-ordained. Before we left that cell that night, Billy and myself dropped to the side of his bed and he gave his life to the Lord. Pray for Billy in that situation. He has a lot of things, issues in his life to go forward. When you're in that situation, you know that God's not fake. The next F I have is frameworks. You know, in agriculture today, we seem to have frameworks for everything. We have frameworks for clean air. We have frameworks for clean water. We have a water framework directive. We have antimicrobial resistance. We have a nitrates consultation, an ammonia emissions consultation. It just seems to go on and on and on. But you know, God's framework is quite simple. It's probably the best known verse in the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's God's framework for life. If we don't come to the point and put our name into that verse and commit our lives to the Lord, then we will never experience forgiveness. And that's another F. Right, in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, it says, He has made everything beautiful in its time. You know, we as farmers are working on that beauty. He has also set eternity in the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. That's another F. And fathom, that's God's mystery. But if we put our trust in the Lord, as John 3:16 says, we will be able to fathom God's mystery. Our next F is the future. You know, we could be very fearful about the future because, I suppose, as I was speaking to a few farmers one time about in the past about Brexit and one thing or another, I said the only certainty is uncertainty. Well, look, as certain as true today is the first day that the vote took place. Nobody knows the future. You know, and the role I'm in takes me out of my comfort zone most days. I'd be more comfortable then I wrote with a bowler in a field at home. But the role I'm in it takes us to meet politicians with Stormont. Not sitting, we're probably in a role that we shouldn't be in, and we're talking right into the heart of government. We meet the Prime Minister's advisor once a week or sometimes twice a week. You know, you hear his take on what Theresa May has told him the day before. By the time you tell somebody the next day, it's out of date. That's the way the thing runs on. No one knows the future. But you know, it's great that we can know the one that holds the future. If we hear him call tonight and give our life to him, then we can know the one who holds the future. And if we know the one that holds the future, then we can bear fruit. That's our next day. We can live fruitful lives wherever God places us and whatever role God places us in. Remember, your circle of friends are unique to you. Nobody else can speak to them. Nobody else has the same relationship with them as you have. That God has placed you where you are. He has given you your friends for a purpose. And He has chose to use you. He doesn't need to use you, but He has chose to use you in the salvation of your friends. The rule I'm in, when somebody asked me if I'd let my name go forward, I was sitting, and I must make a wee confession. I was at church at the time, and I was half listening to a sermon, but I don't know whether it was a reflection of me or a reflection of the minister, but it wasn't that terribly interesting, and my mind was wondering about whether I should take up this role. So I was reading in God's Word, and these verses jumped off the page to me there, and found in 2 Timothy 2, verses 6 and 7. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. I don't know why I'm in the role I'm in. Sometimes I wonder, and to be honest, when you get a day at home and jump on a tractor, maybe I remember last winter I was drawing pig slurry down from a neighbour whose tanks were filling a tractor, and the old phone was out of charge and left it in the house, and I thought, this is bliss. But however, God has put us where we are for His purposes. The next F I come to is fear. You know, there's two ways to deal with fear. If we think of how you spell fear, F-E-A-R, and that's just about my capabilities of spelling, because I'm a bad speller. You can forget everything and run, or you can face everything and rise. God said, "Fear not, for I am with you." Do you have that peace in your life here tonight? Behind every sunset, there's a sunrise. You can have God's favour tonight if you come and trust Him. Thank you.
I'd like to thank Victor very much for giving us an insight into the role he's playing, and also for challenging us about how faith fits into all that he's doing. And what a blessing it is to have a man who is a Christian, who is in this situation and meeting these people, and hopefully we should be supporting him in our prayers as he upholds the things of God and speaks truth into those situations and makes and decisions and talks that he has. So let's remember him in prayer over the coming days, and we thank him very much for coming along and taking up the challenge of coming here this evening. Thank you very much, Victor. And as I said, you're very welcome to come down to the courthouse for a cup of tea. Victor, maybe it'll be more easy talking to you there one-to-one, and certainly I'm sure he'll be glad to speak to anybody who wants to have a chat with him. Let's just turn again to the Psalms. We're singing Psalm 32. Psalm 32, we sing 1-6 from this Psalm in the little booklet. Psalm 32, it's on page 23 there of the Psalm. And here is a word to the heart. O blessed is the man to whom is freely pardoned all the transgression he has done, whose sin is covered. This is the great thing that we need. We need to have our sin covered. We need to be pardoned from all our wickedness. And what a blessing it is when we turn to Jesus Christ and know that pardon as ours, and no transgression is covered over. And the only way we can do that is to acknowledge our faults. Victor's been very open and acknowledged that at times there were things that maybe he confessed to thinking in church that he wasn't maybe paying all the attention he should. That's maybe a challenge to the minister as much as to others. But we need to acknowledge our sin before God. And when we confess unto the Lord, he will forgive. There's no doubt about that. He will forgive if we truly seek him. The Bible is very clear. Whosoever comes and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. And we can rejoice in that. And we know that he will forgive those who seek him. So we're going to sing these words on page 23 at Psalm 32, these verses 1, 2, and 5. We sing these words and then remain standing for prayer and the benediction. Number 32. Bye. Let us pray. Gracious God, we look to you, the Lord of all glory. We look to you, the one who has placed us each in our various circumstances and positions. We look to you, the God who guides and directs. And we thank you, O God, that within our different positions you have given us opportunities within that framework to speak to others. And Lord, we know that there are times we fear man. And Lord, we pray that you would take away the fear of man and give a fear of God, that we would rise to the challenge to speak the word of truth. We pray, O Lord, for Victor, particularly in these days, in the responsibilities and the role he has taken within the farming community. We ask, O God, that you will continue to undergird him day by day, and in all the discussions and things that come across his path, may he find opportunities to speak a word for Christ and to bring your word to bear. And we pray that you will bless him in the word itself for his own soul, that he'll be encouraged in the work, and that he will therefore be better able to encourage others. He has left before us the challenge this evening to seek the Lord. And Lord, we do pray that any here who are not yet in Christ will come to put their faith in Jesus, to recognize, O God, that the Lord God Almighty is the one not only who holds the future, but who is the future, that all who seek him will abide with him. Gracious God, continue with us as we go and take supper together. We pray your blessing upon the good things provided for us, and watch over us in our conversation together, and bless us, for we ask it in Jesus Christ. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with God's people now and always. Amen.